لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى is extremely, extremely merciful upon his creations. And if we were to try to even begin to count the multitudinous blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon his creation, the seas would run dry and the ink on the face of the earth would be exhausted, but we would not be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. And one of these great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is the opportunity, the avenues, the venues by which a person can take that, with which a person can partake in drawing closer to him. Now recently, alhamdulillah, many of us are returning from just such a gathering. When we had all gathered from, you know, people all across the United States had come together, seekers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, people who are trying to get closer to him, people who are trying to be in the remembrance of Allah, people who are trying to embody the sharia and the sunnah in their life, people who are actively engaged in seeking out and bettering themselves and seeking out Islamic knowledge. And so when everyone comes together, everyone brings their own light, their own nur, their own positive baggage. And as that comes together and hits critical mass, then it creates an environment that serves as a catalyst for change. And many people who are returning from that gathering, the sacred learning gathering, can sort of attest to that, how they feel different walking out of the gathering than they walked into the gathering. You know, one person commented that, you know, as he walked down into the doors, into the masjid, he felt that it was as if it was a sea of light. And sometimes the barakat of these type of gatherings, right, does not circumscribe to that locality itself. There's another individual, subhanAllah, who was located very far away. And as the people over there were benefiting from the very khas and special rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other person who was not able to be there was sitting in their home. At the same exact time, they were saying that, you know, I felt that something very powerful was going on. And so then they reported that to me, and I said, subhanAllah, right, subhanAllah, that how the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakat can be so powerful that it's not bound by neither space nor time. So when we sit actually in the company of the righteous and the company of other seekers, one, it has a very khas and very special effect on the heart. And that effect is that it, you know, it injects that heart with nur, right? When the shaykh is sitting with the individual and the pious teacher and alim is sitting with the individual, the heart is being bombarded, right? Being bombarded with nur, and that has a tremendous effect, and it actually serves as a catalyst for moving forward and drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what happens, right, oftentimes is people go and attend such gatherings and they're on a high for maybe, you know, it's variable for depending on the individual. Some people are on the high for, you know, an hour, and then they go back to their normal life. And some people are on the high for maybe a day, and then they go back to their normal life. And some people are on a high for a week, and then they go back to their normal life. And some people are on that high for 2 weeks, right? Where they feel an ostensible change in their life, but then they sort of regress and go back into their normal life. And they feel a sense of regret, a sense of remorse that why can't I go back into that state? I want to live like that. I don't want to regress. I don't want to, you know, have the ebb and flow of the sea. I just want to be standing firm on the shore. And so I thought that I would share some words about how we can maintain some of the things that we gained. Now, I'll start this with this caveat that, You know, that's sort of the nature of the situation that we're, or circumstances at, a circumstance at hand, that it's not something which is necessarily permanent. The idea is that we move it, we move ourselves towards a more permanent state. But oftentimes, when we are in the company of the righteous, that boost that we receive is going to be just that, is going to be a boost. But we should use that and ride that boost, understanding that and take maximal benefit from that boost, knowing full well that it might not last. Now, this was borne out even in the time of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So you have Sahaba, for example, going to, you know, nafaqa hanzala, nafaqa hanzala. One Sahaba, he's walking in the streets. Right, he's walking in the streets and he says that Hanzala has become a munafiq. If I'm not mistaken, that was the name of the Sahaba, Sahabi. And he's saying, I've become a munafiq, I've become a munafiq. Now this is a Sahabi of Rasulullah, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he finds him in the street and he says, what are you saying? And then he explains to him, he says that, you know, when we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our state is, you know, we have a certain state. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the markaz of nur, right? He was the source, he was the fountainhead of spirituality. And so when the Sahaba were in his, when his company, Jannah was more real than life itself. Jahannam became more real than life itself. The Akhirah became more real than the ephemeral, transient life that lay of the dunya before their very eyes. In fact, the Akhirah became even more of a reality to them. So he says that when we are with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find our state such and such, and then we go back to our families, and then we find that, you know, that there is this ebb, right? There is this ebb, there is this regression. And so this is not nifaq, because, you know, if I'm a hypocrite, because if I were true, then the way I am with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would be in the same state when I'm behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not something that I would be putting up a show in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how deeply introspective the Sahaba were. And subhanAllah, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the individual who is referred to as Thani Uthnain in the Quran, the second of two, right? The companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first Khalifa, the one who's most close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if this is such a case, then I too have this nifaq. Let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Let's go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So over here, I know it's very interesting. We find a very interesting example where the Sahaba, right? The Quran was before them. Right, the Quran was before them, but and they found that they have a spiritual disease, but they didn't say that, oh, let's just sit with the Quran and try to diagnose ourselves. Right? They said that let's go to the source, let's go to this person who has an understanding of the Quran, right? Who is a fountainhead of understanding, so that we don't misdiagnose ourselves, so that we can really understand things in the right and appropriate context. So they went to none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked him, Ya Rasul, so in Hanzala, he's saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, you know, that we are, when we are with you, we have such and such a state, and then we go back to our families, right? We are with our wives, we are playing with our kids, and then we don't find that same state. Is this not nifaq? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he comforted them, but then sort of assuaging their concerns, but at the same time he said, he did not move the mark. He said, if you were able to maintain what the state of, you know, spirituality, the state of heart that you had when you were in my presence, then literally the malaika would be greeting you in the streets. But it is a very hard thing. It is a very hard thing. So almost implicitly, we need to understand that this boost that we get, right? It's almost like when you're playing a video game, and the little man is running, and then he hits a power boost, then he is able to run very fast for a short period of time, where he gets a force field, right? So he gets a force field. Then when we have that force field, then you want that action hero or that individual to gain as many points as you can, right? Because you know the timer is ticking, and the force field will go again, or the power boost for the car will run away, and it won't be able to run as fast. So similarly, when we come back with this power boost, when we have a higher level of spirituality, we should try to increase ourselves in works of goodness. And then you need to prioritize, right? You need to prioritize. So if a person has a deep, dark demon in the closet, a sin they have been really trying for a long time to get out of their lives. That they're trying to get out of their lives, then this is the time to do it. Similarly, if a person is trying to establish something in their life, they're irregular in their lessons, they're irregular in their dhikr, they're not consistent in following the sunnah, they have, they're not consistent in the reading of the Quran, then this is the time, in these few days, when you come out of this such a gathering, that you try to establish a schedule. You try to establish regularity with the hope that you're able to form a habit that will stay with you even after these days. So that's number one. That make optimal use of your time during these days. You know, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he said that, you know, he benefited two things from the Sufis when he stayed with them, from the Sufiyah. And one of them is that al-waqtu sayfun illam taqta bihi tuqta, that time is a sword, if you don't cut with it, it will cut you. Alright, similarly we see in the Quran, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. People, by passing time, time that is losing itself, people are in a state of loss. And there are certain people who are accepted from that. And who are those people who are mustasna, who are accepted from this clause? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. First you have the iman, that's a basic prerequisite. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Right, and you have to do good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And you encourage each other in truth. And you encourage each other in sabr. So it's very interesting. Right, so you have iman, and if the dictate of iman is that if you have true iman, that you do amal, right? Because, you know, if it's in your heart, it should manifest in action. And a person says, well, maybe I'm too weak, you know, to actually perform action. Then what is the one of the ways that you can circumvent that? What is the one of the ways that you treat that ailment? تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Exhort each other, right? This is from Bab al-Tafa'ul, which implies, you know, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, mutual exhortation, right? So it implies that there's more than one person who's involved in this activity, that you have a group, that you have a contingent that is working on themselves. So when you actually get removed from these very special gatherings, the way that you do is you find refuge in trying to stay amongst the most righteous people that you can in the environment that you're in. Right, attach yourselves to them so that you can create a mini environment that will serve as a protected environment, a protected environs that will preserve some of that spirituality, allow it to last longer. Right, allow it to last longer. It's almost as if you had something sitting in the freezer and then you take it in the car to go on a long trip. Then what do? You put it in the cooler. Right, so you will slow the rate of heating up. So that's the way you do that, is staying around other individuals. And then you remind each other, تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Exhort each other to the truth. And so, number one, capitalize on, we said capitalize on the boost. While you have the boost, try to establish habits. Number two, try to create a mini environment which will slow the rate of decay. And number three, right, is that try to make, try to leave no opportunity to do any good deed. Right? Consider no good deed small. Because by engaging in good acts, the benefit or the reward of a good deed is the opportunity to have another good deed after it. وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. And the reward of a bad deed, or the compensation, I should say, rather, of a bad deed, recompense of a bad deed is another bad deed after it. So, you know, so many people have these addictive sins that they try to get out of their life. It's a recurrent thing. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it, and then they fall into it. Understand that every time you fall into it, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper into this pit. It's harder to climb out. It's harder to climb out because your reward of that bad deed is that you get another bad deed after that. But that one time where you're able to control yourself, right? That one day that you're able to control yourself, then the reward of that is another good deed after that. And so what we want to do is, if we are on a spiritual high, and even those people who are not able to attend, you know, who are listening to this bayan, connecting with those people who were there, right? Listening to the, because it's sort of all, is all linked. And so, connecting to those people, listening to this band, this reminder in itself hopefully will serve as somewhat of a spiritual boost. And what you want to do is leave no stone unturned in trying to do good deeds, right? Don't consider any good deed small. You know, save yourself from the face of the hellfire, even if it be from a date seed, and even if it be from the, you know, small strip or film that exists between the groove that exists within a date seed. Something which is so minuscule, something which is something so ignorable as that, if you spend that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we might not have qadr for it, other people might not have qadr for it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very qadr-dan. He has value for the deeds of His slaves. So, leave no stone unturned in trying to do good deeds, right? If that good deed, and so when we return to our environments, when we meet our families, right? Be gentle with them. Be kind with them. Be soft with them, right? They should also see us exuding the spirituality that we're bringing back, right? When you meet with your colleagues, when you meet with your friends, when you interact with your environment, when you're in your car, you're reading your du'as, when you're sitting by yourself, you're reading the Quran. And oftentimes the way that people regress is when the more they interact with people, the more they lose some of that, you know, aspects of what things that they had gained. And so what you want to do is one way you buffer that is when you're interacting with other individuals, right? That you remind them that, you know, I had this type of experience, so that they, number one, they can benefit, and number two, that when you're interacting with them, you want to try to exercise the sunnah, smile at them, right, greet them, shake their hands, be gentle with them, say a kind word, even that is charity. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who are able to capitalize on this power boost that we were able to receive, and we thank Him for the opportunity to receive that power boost. Number two, we pray that He allows us our many environs which slow the rate of decay following such spiritual boosts and catalysts. And number three, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to engage profusely, regularly, and pervasively in good deeds, which will serve as a buffer, right, and a catalyst for continued growth, so that Allah save us from decline in our deen, and in especially in matters of the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.